Esther chapter 2 this morning, the book of Esther chapter 2. Hope that you'll find the place there if you're tuning in with us. I do hope that you'll find a Bible there and follow along. We'll stay primarily in this chapter this morning, and I want to walk through several of these verses here. Esther chapter 2 is where we'll be this morning. For those who are seeking fame, it's no surprise to us in this society now, but the internet can make that happen overnight. You have social media platforms, and you really don't need any experience. None is necessary. And sometimes the most unlikely people rise to the role of stardom just overnight. I mean, the internet can take someone who teaches a Sunday school lesson on a YouTube channel and overnight give them all kinds of views. The internet can take a ladies' fellowship and give them more views than the Sunday morning sermon. Not that that's a problem, I'm just saying. But the internet has that ability. You can take a camera, you can take a cell phone, and just in a moment's notice, you can post a video, you can make a video, you can download. Next thing you know, you're the spokesperson on Fox News, or you have so many followers that the president invites you to the White House. Isn't it amazing? And anybody can do it. It can be a soccer mom. It can be a bored student sitting at home. It can be a lazy boy recliner pundit who's just sitting at home trying to come up with something to do. And the reality is that it can take someone that no one's ever heard of and seemingly overnight move them to a place of fame, move them to a place where everybody knows their name. They become almost important, and it's almost as if they have hero status. You know, the reality of the scripture teaches us that God is always in the business of preparing those who he will raise to a status. And when the opportunity comes, those people fit into God's plan in a moment's notice, and sometimes the world almost would wonder, well, where did they come from? God always has a plan, and he's never surprised by circumstances. God is never, by the way, at a loss for servants. Who's going to do this job, and who shall I call upon? In fact, all through the scripture, we find that God had Joseph in Egypt at the right time. God had Daniel and Ezekiel and Babylon. He had Nehemiah at the right place, along the right time, for the right decision to be made. And here in this book, along comes a girl by the name of Esther, who would eventually wind up in the palace. Now, if you know anything about the background, this is one of the most pivotal crises in Jewish history, and it's about to unfold as we walk through a chapter or two, but God already had a plan in place. God already had a person that he prepared. Can I ask you a question? If God was going to promote you to make a difference during the most critical crisis in your lifetime, would you be ready? Would you be available for what God would want us to do? Well, I say to that, meet Esther. And here's a lady who is promoted from Persia to the palace. I've entitled the message this morning, A Promotion to the Palace. And I want to invite you to follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins in Shushan the palace to the house of the women under the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to be here this morning. We ask that you allow our hearts to be in tune with what you would have for us. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I find it interesting that Esther chapter 2 and Esther chapter 3 both begin with after these things. In fact, if you know anything about the book, this is really a history lesson about God's people. The book of Esther is a highly revered book to the Jews, and sometimes it's ranked in importance even alongside the law of Moses. In short, you've got Esther's courage, her wisdom, and her appeal to the king that lead to the execution of a wicked man by the name of Haman, and they enable the Jews to defend their freedom and to fight for their liberty and keep against their enemies destroying them. Historically, they say that Jewish schools would take the book of Esther and they would read them to their students, and it would look something like this. It would almost be like what we would consider maybe a story time. They'd take the book of Esther and they'd open it up and they would begin to read it, and children would gather around. And every time they would get to the names in the book, they would respond differently. It's almost like an adventure tale. And so here are these children, they're gathered around, and the Jewish leaders are reading the book of Esther, and they would boo, and they would stomp their feet every time that the name Haman was mentioned. And every time the name Mordecai was mentioned, they would cheer, and they would clap their hands, and there was that response to what was taking place in the storyline. Now, I'm not going to suggest that that ought to be the case as we read through it this morning, but the truth is, it would do us good to have that kind of childlike reaction to the Word of God. I think sometimes we become so accustomed to the house of God and the Word of God that sometimes you couldn't budge a person with a cattle prod at times. But these children were excited, and they would respond accordingly as they hung on the edge of their seat listening to the story. And the lesson always ended to those children with this. This is a reminder that God's people cannot be destroyed. Now, Isaiah the prophet put it this way in Isaiah chapter 54, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." Thus, the book of Esther demonstrates to me and to you, here we are all these years later, a picture of the sovereignty of God and the fact that He loves His people. In fact, it'd be fair for us to say that it is stamped with Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Esther happens to become the queen to a heathen king for a reason. You ever read the book of Esther and think, well, that just doesn't really fit. Man, if I was the Lord, I would have done it this way. If it was me, I would have had this person in that place. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, there are times in our life as well when it seems like God may be silent in times of crisis, but God has the right person in the right place at the right time. It's our responsibility as believers to spiritually prepare ourselves daily for what God would want us to do. What if God were to tap you on the shoulder at a moment's notice? What if God were to call upon you in a critical hour? Because by the way, a critical hour can arise at work tomorrow. A critical hour may come as your family starts to fall apart. A critical hour may take place at City Hall. A critical hour could be in the schoolhouse. It could be in the church house. It could be at the state capitol or at Washington, D.C. Are you ready to be a voice for God? Are you and I available to Him? Now, if you're familiar with the background of the book of Esther, you know that this is taking place during the reign of King Ahasuerus. We read it in chapter 2, verse number 1. It's all through chapter 1. And here's this king. By the time you get to the end of chapter 1, he has thrown a huge party. It's for several reasons. He wants to boast about how great a king he is. He wants to spend some time looking at all the victories that he's had. And he wants to have those that have gathered with him almost in a sense become jealous at the status that he has attained. And so they throw this big party, and there's all sorts of wine and booze that is served. And in the height of drunkenness, the king invites his wife, the queen, into the party. Now, in that day, it'd be a little bit different. The men would have their party over here, and the ladies would have their party over there. I mean, it's kind of like a Super Bowl thing. The men are over here, and the ladies are over there. But the men would have their party, and the ladies would have their party. But the king invited the queen for one specific reason. He wanted her to be paraded so that everyone would see what a trophy wife he had. I mean, he wanted her to come in and maybe to dance around or parade around in front of the room to be able to show off his great, beautiful wife and boast to his friends what a wife that he has. But the Bible says that Queen Vashti refused. That sparked a fit of anger, causing her to be banished from the kingdom, and almost overnight, it leaves the king without a queen. Well, that's where chapter 2 begins. And I want you to notice some of the elements that start to unfold where this seemingly young lady goes from a nobody to a somebody. Where she's no one knows her name, but all of a sudden everybody knows her name. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll watch this morning, I believe that we'll see the story of Esther being promoted to the palace is the exact same story that every believer goes through when they are born again and one day being promoted to the heavens, one day being promoted to be seated in the heavenlies. It's the story that every one of us has. So I want you to notice a couple things. Notice, if you would, number one, the consideration of the past. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1 in specific. The consideration of the past. Verse number 1 says, after these things. Well, what are the things? Well, it's everything in chapter 1. It's all that we've just discussed. It's everything that has taken place. And now there's a consideration of what was in the past. By the way, can I just pause and I say that your promotion to the heavenlies always starts with your past as well. We understand that somewhere between 3 and 4 years have taken place between chapter 1 and chapter 2. 4 years have gone by, and now there's a king who is sitting around, and he's thinking about the last several years. He's going over the wars that have been fought, and by the way, historically, there were a lot of losses. There was great humiliation. There were victories that were won by the enemies, and here's the king, and now he is broken, he is humiliated, he is frustrated, and he's kind of had the wind knocked out of him. He's feeling kind of down. He's feeling pretty low. And he begins to ponder the past. And the thoughts of what happened in war, and specifically the thoughts of what took place with his wife, begin to flood his mind. Maybe, just maybe, he regrets how he treated her. All right, can you see him? Can you see King Ahasuerus in chapter 2, verse number 1? Here's where I think he is. He's out on the back patio, and he is just thinking through everything that's happened. I mean, he's just, sure. He's got a host of concubines. He's got a host of ladies around him. I mean, there's a harem of women in the culture in that setting that day. But ladies and gentlemen, you understand, there's a big difference between lust and love. Lust is temporary, but love is eternal. Lust satisfies self, but love seeks to satisfy others. Lust destroys, but love builds. Lust is what takes, and love is what gives. And now here's the king, and he's consumed with the loss. He's guilty. He's frustrated. He's defenseless. He's overwhelmed with depression. And he's seated on the back patio with his feet propped up, and he's thinking about all this. He's probably got a great big bowl of potato chips, a gallon of ice cream, and a large pizza trying to drown his sorrows. Do you see it? There he is. And he's thinking about all this as it's going through his mind. Now, I want you to notice verse 2, would you? Notice what the Bible says. Then said the king's servants. Look, so one of the servants, and I don't know exactly how it would go, but one of the servants says, somebody got to do something. I mean, the king can't eat that many potato chips. Somebody has to say something. Somebody's got to get his attention. We can't keep living like this. We can't go on like this. He's got to get up. And my friend, can I say to you today that your past will haunt you if you will let it. Your past can destroy you. Maybe you've made some bad decisions. Maybe certainly you've hurt someone. Maybe you feel lonely, or you've been angry, or you've made a decision that's hurt others. Maybe you've been in that low place where the king finds himself. Perhaps you've lost some battles, and along the way, God sends a servant. God sends someone that says, you can't keep living this way. You've got to get up. It's time for some cleansing, and it's time for some healing. And by the way, thank God the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are determined to live in the past, it will ruin your future. And here he is in chapter 2, verse number 2, and one of the servants said, somebody got to do something. I tell you what, let's put out a post. Let's have a contest on Instagram. Let's put a post out on Facebook that we're looking for a new queen. And here's the rules. And they begin to talk about what that looks like, and they begin to formulate a plan that they can present to the king. And let's just put it all over social media, and let's send, by the way, you don't have any choice in the matter. Your entry is going to be submitted if you are a virgin. And by the way, unless you're a fair maiden, you're kicked out of the system. Sorry, girls, that's the rules. I read about some fifth grade students who were in class and they were learning grammar. And the teacher had been teaching for over 40 years at the school. And she said to the students, she said, if I say, I am beautiful, what tense is that? One little smart aleck fifth grader in the back of the room said, it's obviously past tense. I mean, there were some strict rules about what we were looking for. In fact, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 11, that Queen Vashti was fair to look on. You're talking about these are some big shoes to fill. You're talking about now there's a search for a new wife, and there's a list of qualifications and characteristics, and they've got to meet up to all of those qualifications. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is not a whosoever will can come. This is only for the elect. This is not a anybody. This is a you need not apply for the job. Excuse me now, you don't fit the bill. Can I just say to you this morning, aren't you glad that candidates for heaven aren't sought on the same principle? I'm so glad this morning that heaven is not for the beautiful. Heaven is for sinners. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. And ladies and gentlemen, just in these two verses alone, what a wonderful analogy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what country you come from. It doesn't matter what's in your past. You don't have to have criteria for God to love you. God already loves you. What a wonderful picture. And if I would come to Him today by faith, believing that He's a Savior, then someday you can go to heaven, and from a nobody, you'll be a somebody promoted to the palace. So the Bible tells us about this king that he goes from pondering the past to then, in verse number 4, being pleased. Number 1 is the consideration of the past. Number 2 is the admiration of the king. By the way, it pleased God to see the sin debt paid. Now, it didn't please God to see His Son suffer. It didn't please God necessarily, if you will, to watch His Son, His only begotten Son, die. But it pleased God to bridge the gap between God and man. Now here we are in this passage of Scripture, and the Bible says that as they unveiled this plan, in verse number 4, in the last phrase, it said, please the king. In that day, lots of times, folks would keep their daughters from being in that situation. In fact, sometimes they would lie about their daughters being a virgin because they didn't want them in this setting. They didn't want them added to that harem of women. They didn't want all the political pressure that came with it and all the scandal that was a part of it. You say, preacher, how awesome would it be to live in the palace? Certainly, there's riches, and certainly there's all kinds of honor that comes with it, but these were lonely women, and they didn't have happiness. The emphasis was all on outward appearance. The emphasis was often on sexual pleasure. Time out for a moment. Can I just caution any couple and young people for sure that make sure your criteria for picking a mate is inward character and spiritual maturity, not just the outward man. I saw a post this week that made me chuckle just a little bit. It was two pictures side by side. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you reshared it. But it was two pictures side by side of what appeared like a beautiful lady, and she had a mask on because she was following all the COVID rules, and all you could see were her eyes and her hair, and she looked like a beautiful lady. And then in the picture beside it, the mask was taken off, and boy, she weren't so pretty when the mask was taken off. And it said, be very careful who you fall in love with when they have a mask on. Now you understand, ladies and gentlemen, the same reminder is here for us. Beauty fades, but character lasts. Now I'm interested in the phrase in verse number 4, pleased the king. If you mark in your Bible, you might underline that phrase. Because for you and I as Christians, pleasing the Lord ought be the desire of every one of us. Now, what does the Bible say on that subject? How does a Christian please God, our King? And that's really a study of its own entirety. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. In Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says of Enoch that he walked with God and he pleased God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, whatsoever we ask, we receive because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing. Can I ask you a question? Are you pleasing to God? Is your life this week, has it been pleasing to the Lord? The Bible says that this king was pleased with it. In fact, it would go on to say in verse number 9 that specifically he was pleased with Esther. Now, I've often looked at this and I've said, wait a minute. How can a wicked king unite with a Jewish girl and God be okay with that? How can a man like King Ahasuerus marry this young Jewish girl and it be pleasing to God? Well, it's a reminder of the fact that God is in control the whole time. And all things do work together for good. In fact, in the next several verses, the Bible begins to tell us that. Number 3 this morning is the preparation of the way. For the next couple verses, we begin to see, primarily in verse 7, 8, and 9, that God is preparing a way for His people. Watch. Are you ready? I told you at the beginning that the story of Esther is really the story of every believer being promoted from this earth to heaven, being promoted from this earthen body to a heavenly body. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that long before Esther was ever born, God already had a plan for His people? Long before Esther's name was ever read in Esther chapter 2, God already knew who she was. God already had a plan. And can I tell you today that long before you were ever born and long before you sinned your first sin, God had already been preparing a way. He'd already made a way for you to be saved and have eternal life and have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when Esther is brought before them, immediately she finds favor. Immediately, she is given special things, and we'll see those in a moment. But God is setting the stage to deliver His people. Ladies and gentlemen, God can bring you into favor with authority. God has the ability to promote you, but He also has the ability to demote you. Joseph found favor in Egypt. Daniel found favor in Babylon. And the Bible says of Esther that she is given the best place, she is given 7 maidens, and she's given the ultimate promotion of all. She's in the presence of the king. I mean, nobody else gets that privilege. How in the world does a nobody become a somebody in the entire kingdom and everybody knows her name? I'm glad that this passage is a picture of what our relationship with God can be like. Now, let me show you a couple things. Look at verse number 7, would you? We didn't read this far. But the Bible says, and he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. Well, that's interesting. Here's a little bit about Esther's condition. She doesn't have a father. She doesn't have a mother. I mean, there's nobody further from being the queen than she is. Who's going to pick somebody like that? But in the mysterious providence of God, the most unlikely things can happen. By the way, no one seemed a more unlikely candidate to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ than Saul of Tarsus. Did you know there is no more unlikely recipient of God's grace than you. And so we find out about her condition, but look at verse number 8. You also find out about her call. The Bible says that she was brought to him. And then it says that is given to her in verse number 9 in just a moment. Esther was brought unto the king. She now knows that she's a candidate for sure. She now knows that things are progressing. And now it looks like it's going to be a wonderful privilege for her to be in the palace. Not very many people get this chance. Nobody gets the privilege to be in the king's presence whenever they want to be. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it is so much different for you and I through the call of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone can receive Jesus, and anyone can receive Jesus. And by the way, anyone who does receive Jesus receives eternal life. Aren't you glad that when you pray, God doesn't say, well, I'll take you and I'll take you, but you're not beautiful enough and you've got the wrong family. The Bible tells us that whosoever will, whosoever calls, whosoever, and the list goes on, everyone who calls upon him receives eternal life, and everyone who is brought into the king's house then is a recipient of his gracious presence. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 9, the Bible speaks about her character, that she pleased him. This is the second time that that word is used. First in verse number 4, not specifically of her, but now in verse number 9, for the second time, the king is pleased yet again. And she obtained kindness. Now, it is also noteworthy that the Bible tells us, by the time you get to verse number 10, that Esther obeyed Mordecai's request that she keep her heritage quiet. Now, that seems kind of like a small thing, but God doesn't overlook that. God saw all of that. And for a moment, it's a simple reminder that what we are and the secret of our souls eventually will make its way to the surface when testing comes. You say, well, preacher, I just got to tell you, as you look at this story, I just don't have all those wonderful characteristics that Esther had. I mean, she just seems like she's perfect. She is definitely that icon of beauty, that perfect wife. Well, I want to tell you, Esther had her weaknesses and she had her faults, but God still used her. And I don't know where you are in your Christian life, and I don't know where you are in the last 6 weeks of what you have been through on this journey of the unknown. You say, preacher, I'm just not sure if God can use me. Oh, yes, He can. And God can use you in greater ways as you are obedient to the Word of God. Finally, the day has arrived. Esther is now to be summoned before the king. Number 4, and finally, is the presentation of a crown. Go, if you would, to verse 17, would you? And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. She is now promoted to the palace. Now, you remember? This is a picture of your journey in the Christian life. And by the way, if you're saved, if God tarries, one day you'll be promoted from this earthen body. Be all right if it was today. One day, if you're a child of God, we'll be promoted from this place where we are called strangers and pilgrims, and we'll be given that seat in the heavenly. Now think about it for a moment. If you were invited to a private reception with the prime minister or the president or some king, what would you say? Would you go? What would you wear? What would you present yourself? Esther is about to meet the king. By the way, she is loved, she is valued, she's given favor, not based upon who she is, but based upon who someone else was. I don't have time to develop all of that. But it's amazing to me, if you were to study the Jewish background, it looks like these young ladies spent 6 months in preparation to meet the king. That's convicting. If Jesus Christ were to come today, are you prepared? Or have you spent the last 6 months preparing for something else? The Bible says in verse 17, "And the king loved Esther above all the women, so he set the royal crown upon her head." Now watch. The last 10 verses, from verse 7 to verse 17, you know the only thing Esther does is obey. That's the only thing you can find about Esther in those verses, is that she was simply obedient. And ladies and gentlemen, the way to the throne was then open to her whenever the king loved her, whenever the king opened the door, and she found favor. In fact, if you know the rest of the story, she had the opportunity to be in his presence whenever she deemed. What a wonderful picture of you and I as children of God. We have the privilege, by the way, to be loved by a king, the King of Heaven. The love of God opens the heart, opens the way for the love of God, for the heart of God, and the home of God. And one day, believers will be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His heavenly kingdom. One of these days, if you're saved, you will be in the presence of God. By the way, if you're not saved, one day you'll be in the presence of God as well. But it won't be with rejoicing. And so here's the story of Esther, and it probes some questions in my life. Am I prepared to meet the Lord? Am I giving due diligence to make sure that I am ready and available? How ready am I if God were to call me today to be used in some great fashion? Would I be prepared to be an asset for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What a wonderful reminder that Christ is always in control. God can bring you into favor. God can bring you promotion. He can put you in the right place with the right people in the right position at the right time that you never thought possible. Never underestimate how God can take nobody and make them somebody and give them ultimately a promotion to the palace. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to be gathered around the Word of God. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us that we would do as you see fit. And Lord, we recognize that what we would call church in its normality from weeks gone by has just changed almost week by week. But just for a brief moment, we pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us and speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment.